You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, Steve talks about E3. John talks about E3. Kev talks about E3. And we all talk about Evo. Exciting times.
Hi.
How are you?
We're back! We've been gone for a while, but we are back.
We're like Ghostbusters. We're back.
It's been too long. You are, of course, listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Gadget.
And gear.
Related. On DVDverdict.com. We have taken an extra long hiatus while we digested the blizzard of information and hype that was 2013's E3. And we will get to that in a little while. We won't leave you hanging for too long, because I know you guys, all of you people out there in Blast Processing Land, have been sitting there waiting for our thoughts on E3, wondering if and when we were ever going to bother to chime in. And yes, we will. Soon. But first, we're going to talk about games.
Games.
That we are actually playing, not games that are coming out in a year's time.
Yeah.
So, The Last of Us.
Tell me about this game, guys, because, man, I've been hearing good things.
It is a very, very, very good game. We'll, you know, in classic review fashion, here we go. The Last of Us is a post-apocalyptic survival tale, first and foremost. Starring two protagonists, you've got Joel, the curmudgeonly old man, who's, you know, was around before the outbreak and lives a grizzled existence as a doer of quasi-legal things. And Ellie, who is a young, precocious, you know, 14-year-old girl with a secret. Bum, bum, bum. Much drama.
Sounds a bit like Zombieland, except with a girl instead of a guy.
And if Zombieland were, like, bleak, depressing, horribly violent.
Yeah, that's it.
Neither Woody Harrelson nor... Not Michael Cera or Kate.
Oh, no, I'm not thinking of Zombieland. I'm thinking of Stakeland.
Oh, I haven't seen Stakeland.
Well, none of the guys in Stakeland either are capable of growing the 5 o'clock shadow that the main character in The Last of Us has.
Joel's beard is pretty luxurious.
Yeah.
So, right off the bat, I mean, the artistry, this is a Naughty Dog game, okay? This is developed by Naughty Dog. They've got a second team put together, and wow. Just from a technical standpoint, holy crap. I mean, effects that you should not see on this system. You know, it's kind of like the Shadow of the Colossus of this generation. You know, you've got a game that's basically pushing the PS3 to 11. Gorgeous, gorgeous visuals, beautiful effects, beautiful facial capture, amazing performances from the actors. That only helps, of course. Wonderful script, direction from the cat responsible for Heavenly Sword and Enslaved Odyssey to the West. So, you know...
Like, I don't own this game.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know why you don't own it. it is a phenomenal piece of work. It considerably more emphasis on realism than what you get in Uncharted and stuff. The gunfights are a lot more measured, a lot more methodical, a lot less frequent.
And Joel doesn't kill in the thousands.
Oh no, he's a pretty blatant killer.
Yeah, but it's not as bad. Nathan Drake is a slayer of. Just millions.
Cold as ice.
But no, it's... methodical is the best way I can put it. The feeling of the gunfights, like every fight in the game feels ridiculously intense. You know, because you're trying to aim down the sight and stuff before the bad guy squeezes off their shot. And when they do, you get knocked on your ass. It feels very realistic. Gunshots are loud. They punctuate the soundtrack like an exclamation point. They're just boom. And when you get hit, you get knocked over. You know, it feels realistic, it feels hectic, it feels frantic, intense more than anything. Just a whole shitload of intensity in this game. The mechanics are great, the crafting mechanics, the way you level up your gear, the way you increase your own stats and stuff. Like, it's everything is well thought out, well put together, just pure Naughty Dog. Gorgeous visuals, again, like, beautiful game to look at. No real technical hiccups or glitches. You know, I didn't notice any pop-in. I didn't have any fade-in. I didn't have any stuttering. Beautiful diversity in the terrain. You know, you go from, like, one type of region to the next. You start off in these grizzled old cities and move out into countryside, and then there's, like, a suburb at one point. And beautiful, absolutely stunning game. Really, really pretty. Probably one of the nicest looking things I've ever seen in video game form. It's, and like, just designed to such a finite point, you know, like home to a razor's edge is the best way I can describe this game. Right. However, there is a but.
Uh-oh.
The hecticness of the game, like the frantic pace of it, now, I can't even say frantic pace, that's not the right way to describe it. The frantic nature of, like, when you do get into trouble. I found that it kind of pulled me out of the game a little bit. I found that as I played and as I got deeper into the game, I was more interested in the storyline and these characters and the quiet moments. And at some points, you need that action to just kind of mix things up and stuff. And at some points in the game, it feels perfectly natural. But there are other points in the game that you can really telegraph that, okay, here comes an action sequence. Okay, now here comes a sequence with the infected. And like it kind of falls into that routine a little bit too much. It almost feels a little too rote.
Oh, okay.
For the technical, for how just beautifully crafted the game and the storyline is, when you get right into these distractions, it's almost like, you know, firing up Arkham Asylum or Arkham City and going into the challenge rooms instead of playing the actual game.
Right.
You know, it kind of feels like that at times. It feels like the combat is just a distraction or something put in to kind of add a little bit of length to pad it out. And it, like, as I get deeper into it, things start to get more repetitive, you know, like, okay, now we're going to this location, but the people we're looking for, of course, are going to be gone, and we're going to have to fight this many guys, and then this many guys, and then we move on to the next location, where the people we're looking for are going to be gone. You know, like, it really kind of falls into that trap a little bit too much. It does get, dare I say it, a little repetitive.
Okay.
But you get these amazing cutscenes and these amazing story beats that just keep you propelling forward, you know? And initially, I thought, when I first fired up the game and played the first 3 or 4 hours, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be a game that I'm just going to sit down and marathon. It's going to be like Uncharted 2 was. It's going to be a one-sitting or two-sitting game. But because of the repetitive nature, it isn't. I find myself getting exhausted, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I had enough of this.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. Not like, oh, this game is so intense that I have to take a break. It's more, fuck, another shooting level. God damn it. You know?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's frustrating. And beyond that, I've noticed there are certain parts of the game, most effectively the opening sequence, which is stunning, absolutely stunning, that look like they were crafted a little after the rest of the game. Like, the graphics kind of take an uptick, textures, like, the quality improves. It's really weird. It's really bizarre. Like, the opening sequence of the game takes place pre-breakout, you know, like, pre-virus outbreak. And it looks considerably better than the rest of the game.
Hmm.
It leads me to believe that it's something that was kind of finished afterwards and put in there. Now, it doesn't feel like an afterthought, narratively speaking. I mean, it sets up the game absolutely beautifully. But when I first fired it up, I was completely stunned by how gorgeous it was. And then the game kind of settles into its modern-day groove, and you're like, hmm. It's a little... It throws you for a loop a little bit. I mean, and it's not to say that the rest of the game is not absolutely stunningly gorgeous, because it is. It is a beautiful, beautiful game. It is right up there with Uncharted 3. So, I mean, you know, it's no slouch in that department, and I hate to just continue to hammer home the graphics and how pretty the game is, but it is a goddamn pretty game. You know?
Yeah.
But the Naughty Dog magic is still there, but the little flaws, the little kind of nitpicks that kind of crept their way into the very, very tail end of Uncharted 2 and about half of Uncharted 3 are also present.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not the lean and mean Naughty Dog that we had for Uncharted and Uncharted 2. It's the more bloated, a little bit more extravagant Naughty Dog, and I don't see that as necessarily a good thing.
Yeah,
I think Heavenly Sword and Enslaved were actually better paced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were shorter, no doubt, but better paced.
Right, right.
You know, like it's just I'm struggling to think of.
I think Heavenly Sword more so than Enslaved.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. But this one feels more like there are cutscenes that are brilliant. There are story beats that are absolutely amazing. And I mean, it is a very different game from Uncharted. It isn't even remotely similar in terms of like concept and stuff. I mean, you know, Uncharted is the big Hollywood blockbuster. The Last of Us is the gritty indie. You know, like there is a big difference in tone. And I hate to, like, go back to the memorable beats of Uncharted. Like, I mean, even Uncharted 3, I mean, yeah, there were two or three levels that we didn't like. But for the most part, that game, and there's so many parts where, like, oh, man, that part with this and that part, you know, like, little set pieces and stuff that you always go back to and say, man, that was freaking awesome. I want to play that game again. Then you hit the ship graveyard and go, fuck, why did I want to play this game again? But I digress. Last of Us has a few, like, there's a lot of stuff that happens, but there's nothing I think back to, like, oh, man, that part was incredible, or this part was incredible. You know, like, there hasn't really been anything like that yet for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pretty, pretty huge chunk through the game. Like, I'm on the second last chapter, I believe, now. So,
okay.
So unless they really drop a bombshell in the final chapter, I'm, you know, it's been great, but it hasn't been that perfect 10 out of 10 game that,
right,
you know, it's advertised as. It's phenomenal. I hate to say that. I hate to come down on it. I hate to be the contrarian douche in this case. I really do. It isn't a 9.5 or a 10 game. It's an 8.5 right. or a 9 game. Wow.
That does still apply. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, it is. It is still
I'm canceling my pre-order. I'm going to wait till it goes down in price.
Now, it is, I mean, it totally is, you know, the game to own. It really is. It is a game that if you own a PlayStation 3, you need to own this game. But you need to own this game with the three Uncharted's and with, you know, Killzone 2 and 3. And it's not like, if you own one game for PS3, it has to be The Last of Us. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
And the last, I guess, my final real parting thought on it is, I sit down to play the game, and I can't stop. But I have to force myself to sit down and play it. Which, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense or not. You know, it's one of those situations where rather than being compelled to just sit down and play through the game, I'm forcing myself to sit down and play through it.
Right.
But then
right.
once I get the controller in my hand and I start playing, I'm okay. And I think that has more to do with the subject matter than anything. Like, it's more of a Walking Dead, you know, survival story, gritty horror, other humans pissing me off to no end kind of thing. And I think that part of the appeal is kind of lost on me a little bit because I'm not a Walking Dead fan. I'm not into that whole bleak, post-apocalyptic, you know, we're just a bunch of normal people trying to make our way in a fucked up world kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mad Max without Mad Max.
Right.
It's like Mad Max if all it started and it was a bunch of people who got beat up by leather-clad biker daddies.
Right.
Oh, it's Mad Max if all Mad Max did the entire time was sit in a car and go,
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So there's some people's Saturday night. Not mine.
So there you go. There's my thoughts on The Last of Us.
All right. So I should buy that.
You should. You should definitely. You should buy it. Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think you'll love it, man. I really do. I think that you would be super into it.
I think I would be too.
Play it with some really good headphones on, or on.
Oh yeah.
Or on your surround sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The sound is phenomenal. Like, the sound design is incredible.
Nice.
Okay, so, with The Last of Us out of the way, E3. E3 was a month ago. Middle of June.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. We've had a month to kind of mull things over, let the hype die down, relax, take a few pills, watch the internet implode. Here we go, Blast Processing's thoughts on E3.
We're like the Japanese fighting fish. We just waited for the other ones to tire themselves out.
Exactly.
Now we move in for the kill.
We waited till everybody else was totally done talking about E3, and we did that for two reasons. Number one, because we're lazy, and number two, because now it'll be fresh in your mind again.
And I left town, number three.
And number three, Kev left town.
I still say we should have just replaced him.
Aw, you guys.
See, Chewie was all on board, but then I was worried that we'd get a cease and desist letter from Disney.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you don't mess with a Wookiee, though. Even Disney don't mess with Wookiees.
Well, I don't think they like their free agents going out and doing video game podcasts on the side. We're Walt Disney, son. We're not the Boy Scouts. You don't just quit us. I'd have some crazy Walt Disney suit show up in my house and buy me out, quote unquote.
Oh my goodness.
Off the price is right. So no Chewie. Anyway, I vote we do it in our traditional fashion. Good, bad, and ugly of E3. That sound good to you guys?
That's good to me. Sounds good. I have to remember E3.
John, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, so long as you don't start with me.
I was just about to start with you.
This is your crazy idea. you can fall on your sword for this one.
That's right. I'm going last.
Okay, all right.
Ibs.
Before I get out with my good, bad, and ugly, I just want to say right off the bat, Game of Show, E3, Destiny. And if you guys have not seen the 15-minute gameplay sequence of Destiny, shame on you.
Oh.
Shame.
I'm Googling that shit now.
You should. Really should. So, the good of E3 this year, games. Games, games, and more games. Microsoft showed games. Sony showed games. Nintendo showed games. Very impressive. And they were games. They weren't gimmicks. They weren't toys. They weren't add-ons and blah, 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 blah. They were games. They showed software. Microsoft had Titanfall. MGS5 was there. Battlefield 4. Killer Instinct, Forza 5. Titanfall. Sony had Killzone. Infamous. God, where to even begin? Destiny, of course. A shit ton of indie games. They loaded it pretty much. You know, their conference was an hour and a half. It just concentrated gaming alongside 5 minutes of people talking about entertainment.
Yeah.
Which kind of felt more like an afterthought to the Microsoft unveil from 2 weeks earlier. But anyway, games everywhere. Games as far as the eye can see. It was great. That's the good. The bad, Microsoft. Again.
Right. Yeah.
Like, guys, get your shit together. Get your shit in order, Microsoft. Clean your house. Really. Don Matrick, go away. You're gone now, thank God. We'll get into that. But you know what? Matrick, you're a goddamn stooge. That right-hand man to yours, whatever the frick his name was, that Smiley Bates guy, always got that one-sided sly grin on his face. He was wearing a goddamn State of Decay t-shirt at E3 this year just to kind of show how gamer he was. Because State of Decay was hyped a week earlier, you know? Like, oh, I can't even remember your name. You're that much of an annoyance to me. You're like an insect. You're like that little white crust in the corner of your mouth that you get when you're really thirsty. And you need to go away, too, because you're just a douche hat, and I hate you. So, those guys aside, you know what? Microsoft, you showed games. That was cool. There was still that whole DRM brouhaha, which leads me to part two of my bad. Sony. I'm a little disappointed in you guys. I'm a little disappointed that you basically owned E3. I mean, your conference was good enough on its own. Your conference was great. Your conference was fantastic. You guys should have just left it at that. But you guys owned E3 based on the fact that you worked the crowd on the idea that you weren't Microsoft.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was pretty... That was lowballing, man. That was lowballing. Mr. Tretton, you dropped the mic. It's great. It's cool and all that. I was so pleased to see Sony actually really... definitively win in E3, but the no DRM rental games, you guys played that way too heavily, when all you really needed to do was play that $3.99 card. All you had to do was just say, our price is $3.99, and it was in the bag. That just felt a little bit too biting my thumb at you, sir, for me. And I'm not a Microsoft supporter. I haven't been since 2008 when Asshat Matrick took over, but that was a little too far, I think. That was borderline. That kind of ran over the line of good taste a little. And the ugly. Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo. You know what? I'm not gonna get too deep into Nintendo and why I consider them my ugly, but you know, the other two guys at least decided to show up. You just kind of did something somewhere else. And that was okay. Right on. I just wish Walt Disney would buy out Nintendo and do something cool with it. So that's it for me.
Okay. All right. Could you pause there for a second? I'm sorry. I'm dying to pee, boys.
So, Jab, what do you got?
Okay, let's take a look at this.
Okay,
my good.
Nintendo.
Here we go. You're going to rescue the princess? You're going to... Oh, fuck. What? The shit. I know we laugh and giggle about it, but seriously, I'm super over the comical swearing in these YouTube videos. I'm done.
I'm done.
With that, I'm about to say fuck a whole lot. Okay, so the good. The big guns step up to the stage for their conferences, or in Nintendo's case, their events. And the usual suspects aren't trucked out. You know, it's like Microsoft started theirs and, holy shit, it's not Call of Duty.
No, you're right, it wasn't.
You know,
it was a pretty bitchin' Metal Gear trailer.
Yeah, different games are being given the red carpet treatment. Which...
Didn't they do Dark Souls as well? Dark Souls 2?
Yes.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool. Kind of like, you know, Sony gave... We got the Mad Max teaser.
Yeah.
I just... Honestly, I thought that was kind of cool, because I thought I had... I thought I had both conferences pretty much predicted.
Yeah, that Mad Max came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, it did. And if it turns out that Corey Barlock's still attached to that, I'll be...
No, they've already confirmed that he wasn't.
Good. Okay. Just so long as I know. My bad. After the whole event was said and done, and I ran out and pre-ordered my PS4... way too many 2014 or when it's done titles. I mean, we all knew it was going to be this way. The new consoles are coming. They look fantastic. But I'm honestly underwhelmed with the day one menu, especially with so much of it coming out on existing systems.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I'm going to get Watch Dogs. Yes, I'm going to get Destiny when it comes. Well, I mean, Destiny's another 2014 one, isn't
it? Yeah, but now they say maybe early 2014, not so much fall. I believe that when I see it. I think it's going to be November 2014.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just so much of it is when it's done. We don't know when it's coming yet. So, I mean, I got the sneaking suspicion, you know, I'm going to pick up my PS4, I'm going to play the hell out of Killzone, I'm going to play the hell out of Watch Dogs, and I'm going right back to Grand Theft Auto 5.
I'm also going to have Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm. Nice.
And Drive Club. Oh, sorry, Drive Club.
And my ugly is a bit of a personal one. So you guys might not agree with this being an ugly, but it is to me. Capcom. What the fuck, man? When you promise big surprises and you have a storied history like that company has, you better deliver more than, oh, we loaned a character out for Smash Brothers, or... You know, oh, here's the inevitable release of a franchise that was made this past generation.
The Dead Rising 3 thing for me was a non, like, not even a blip.
Yeah, it was. And,
Dead Rising and 2 it, was it, just so like it hit so horribly.
Dead Rising 2 belly flopped.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, Dead Rising 1 was something I got crazy excited for. Bought it. It was like, yeah, it's zombies.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm going to say it right now, guys, I'm done with zombies. I really am.
I can't even say that Dead Rising 3 looks terrible, because it doesn't. It really doesn't, and I think that's the direction, like, if they were going to continue with the series, they're definitely taking it in the right direction. They're going more serious and stuff with it, but isn't it then essentially just becoming Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the whole trick behind Dead Rising to begin with, was that it was just, you know, Resident Evil with a sense of humor?
Yeah. And like saying this, you know, this is when, you know, they say we got a big surprise for E3. Okay, guys, well, this is when you come out and say, hey, remember when we canceled that retro-developed Mega Man game? No, we didn't! Or, hey, guess who's got the exclusive rights to, who just picked up the exclusive contract from Disney to produce Marvel software? Hey!
Yeah.
Or, you know, hey, here's a new Strider game. But no, it's not. You don't come out and say, oh, yeah, Mega Man's in Smash Brothers. But actually, no, they didn't even say that. That was Nintendo.
It was Nintendo who did that, yeah.
Yeah. So Nintendo got to make that big. And that, which leads me to believe that their big surprise was Dead Rising 3.
Yeah. And the whole thing with Capcom, I know Capcom doesn't really have much of a presence at E3. They never did. Like, the last few years, they just kind of stay away from E3. They do their own stupid Captivate thing.
Yeah.
But the company in general, man, is kind of... dead, you know, like there's,
well, they were just hit with some massive layoffs.
Yeah, they the president of the North American operations is gone. They
Christian Svensson, I think,
yeah,
it was.
They gutted a bunch of the production studios. I mean, right now, pretty much the only thing I know of that they have in development that's really, like, pure, hardcore, next-gen Capcom is this Project Deep Down, which I hope ends up being a Dragon's Dogma sequel. But, like, everything else is kind of farmed out. It's all, you know, like, it's other teams working on stuff. It's guys outside of Capcom. Like, I mean, Spark Unlimited is doing Lost Planet 3, which will be out in August, and which I have a feeling is, you know, I got that ugly, horrible churning in my stomach that it's going to suck.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know what Capcom is into, man. I think they've completely gone, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's, they've been thrashing around the water for so long, and for the first time now this past year, they've, again, taken some water into their lungs, and now they're doing anything they can to try to correct it, but they're just, they're going completely the wrong direction.
Yeah,
let's
just release another update for Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
You know, let's not bother, like, even attempting to get, you know, dare I use the word creative, and actually bringing Mega Man into the current generation or the next generation. Like, they're not even trying. Like
no, and I'm not saying that as a Mega Man fan. You know, I'm not slavering for a new Mega Man game, but it's just, I looked at that, and it wasn't even Retro, it was a studio made up of guys from Retro.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I looked at that, and it was a very unfinished, unpolished tech demo, basically, what they were showing off, but it was a new idea.
Yeah.
And it was them going back, and Capcom have, I said, you know, a storied history. They have got so much good stuff they can dig into.
Yeah.
And I mean, a few years back, that, you know, they gave Grin Bionic Commando. No, it didn't turn out well, but it was a good idea. People were talking about Capcom. They did Dark Void. You know, it was a good idea. People were talking about Capcom.
Problem was, neither of them made any money.
Yeah.
And I think, too, the other side of it, like, I mean, I know in the case of Dark Void, this was a game that was developed by Airtight or whatever, and then Capcom kind of picked it up for release. But there's so much, like, they've got so much of a storied background. They got so much stuff they can draw from. They got games that people haven't played in years that were huge fan favorites. Stuff like Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, and you tell me, like, a good developer taking on Strider, Magic Sword, Black Tiger, any of that stuff, right?
There's so much stuff out there, and look at Nintendo.
No,
you're
into the rounds. Yeah.
Look at Nintendo. Look at the new Super Mario Bros. Wii U as a prime example. That game was freaking phenomenal.
Yep.
And I'm not a Mario fan, but it's a Mario game in high def. And, I mean, like, all you need to do, guys, is cook up some cool robot designs and put together a Mega Man game. You don't have to break it.
We finally have the software where you can make this thing look like a side-scrolling cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, right? And look at friggin', like, they have the engine. Street Fighter 4 looks phenomenal. You know, and that's using the same engine as Dragon's Dogma used, the same engine Resident Evil 5 and 6 used. You know, like, you have an engine. You have artists. You have talented artists. You can't tell me that you can't sit down and cook up an awesome Mega Man game in a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, and don't tell me, you know, it's dead with Inafune gone, because it's not.
No.
Right? When you have got a team of 5 people who just this last week released basically what Capcom allowed to be for the 25th anniversary of Mega Man, right? They allowed a couple fan projects to go on without getting cease and desist letters.
Yeah.
And again, that was probably a big mostly due to Christian Svensson.
Yeah.
And you've got these guys who have just released their project, and I'm not going to talk about the Street Fighter one because that was fairly sloppy, but this new one, Mega Man Unlimited, plays better than the two Capcom ones that came out on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Much better. And this is just 5 people who grew up with the game. You cannot tell me, with all the talented artists, all the talented designers at Capcom, all the development studios out there, you cannot put together enough people, take your most beloved character, and get yourself a goddamn hit.
Yeah, look at him in freaking Smash Brothers, for God's sake. Look at this Wii U version of Smash Brothers. His character design of that looks fantastic.
I love how everything, his animation looks just like a super high-def version of what the 8-bit character looked like.
But his character model and stuff is great. It's fantastic. I'm not even a Mega Man fan.
Even though I'm sitting down poking fun, it's like, okay, so if Dr. Light's going to create a super fighting robot, why do you make him a midget?
Yeah. Capcom are frustrating, but
yeah. And it's honestly, with Capcom, I keep going back, and I'm feeling like a battered wife.
I think
the company
has one thing on their mind and one thing only, man.
Yeah.
Money, money, money.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they're not getting any of the money, money, money.
No, they're just chasing the ace, though. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
They hit something, they create something that hits, and then they just chase it.
Yeah.
Even Dragon Style.
Yeah, well, like you said, you said they got this cool thing looking project. What's it, Deep Down?
Deep Down, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that looks to me that Dragon's Dogma was a surprising hit.
Yep.
You know, performed admirably with the critics. Performed admirably from a commercial standpoint. I think it was a hit.
Yep, it was.
Yeah. And so within, you know, a year later, you got this Dark Arisen add-on, and now you got this new next-gen project, which essentially looks like Dragon's Dogma.
Yep. And I mean,
I don't have a problem with
it. It looks phenomenal. It looks absolutely great, but it's the only thing Capcom is working on that I am even remotely interested in.
Yeah, like, I'm at the point now I don't give two shits anymore about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
When you and I were underwhelmed by this Street Fighter 4 announcement.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my god, more Street Fighter 4? Really? The game is 3 years old, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
No Skullamania, come on.
The game came out in, what, 2010 or 2009?
2009.
Yeah, like four years ago.
The joke was that I was going to be divorced 1 week after I was married when Super Street Fighter 4 came out.
Yeah. 2009. But yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, and I normally go crazy for Street Fighter.
Absolutely crazy. We've played quite a bit of Street Fighter 4, and it's an amazing game, but it was 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, even if you're not Capcom, if you're going to announce a new fighter, even if you're not going to, how many franchises do you own?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. People have been fiending, but you know, you got these Darksiders fans who are up there going nuts. Now, I don't care if they bring Darksiders back or not. I really
Darkstalkers.
Or Darkstalkers,
sorry. You will not speak ill of Darksiders in
Darkstalkers,
my presence.
I'm sorry, Darkstalkers. I don't give a shit if it comes back or not, but there are a lot of people out there who do. And what do they do? Oh, let's just release Darkstalkers 3 on PSN and see what happens.
Yeah.
You're not like, seriously, guys, seriously, this is the best you can do. Don't.
Oh, no, I got no problem with their. No, actually, I do think they're a little on the expensive side. I do like their little HD things they've been doing, like that Darkstalkers thing. I didn't buy it myself personally, but I've got the Marvel vs. Capcom Origins. I've got the Dungeons & Dragons, what was it called? Legend of Mystara.
Oh, me too, and it's great.
And it's great, yeah, and I like that stuff. I do think it's a little on the pricey side.
It is. I agree.
Yeah, I think that stuff should be $9.99.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they got the Capcom arcade cabinet. They got, you know, gosh, just reach in there and make an actual new game out of some of this stuff. Give me a new Strider. Give me a fresh 21st century take on Final Fight.
And the other thing, too, what it is like, they're releasing remakes or just ports from classic consoles and stuff and expecting that to be a gauge of how popular it will be. Like, no, you have to tell people. Look at Square with Tomb Raider, for God's sake. They took a franchise that was all but washed up. You know, only a handful of people played Tomb Raider Underworld. You know, like, people did not care about that character anymore. People didn't give a shit about Tomb Raider. Square Enix puts together an amazing teaser. And bam, all of a sudden you've got 100 best of E3 awards, and you've got the best goddamn game that I've played so far in 2013.
Yeah, look what Tecmo did years ago with Ninja Gaiden. They took, again, a franchise that was dead. Deader than Tomb Raider. Long buried and forgotten. In Relic of the 8-Bit Ages. You know, the last time anyone reached into that was a really poorly received, sloppily designed Super Nintendo collection of the three NES games.
Yeah.
They took that and turned it in. I'm not even a big fan of Ninja Gaiden, but they turned it into the reason, one of the reasons to have an Xbox.
Exactly.
Xbox fans went crazy over that game. You cannot tell me that you couldn't take, you know, Ghouls and Ghosts, or the concept of Strider, or Trojan, or Bionic Commando, codename Viper, any of these things that you have, and just, you know, knock the hell out of it.
Yep.
And sadly, the most exciting thing that came out of Capcom this year for me is that freaking remake of DuckTales.
No, with me, it'd probably be Legends of Mystara.
Yeah, sorry, I should be going back to that. And it really saddens me because I remember, I always bring this up, but I still remember when that logo or that blue/purple colored box was a better seal of quality than the official Nintendo seal of quality. You got a Capcom game, you know you had the best thing in the store that weekend.
True. How about you, Mr. Woolrich? What do you got for us?
Well, you know, my good is kind of a 50-50. There are two things that I was really happy about. And number one is the PS4 price point.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that means for the first time ever, I will buy a system within its first year of release. And not used off of a friend of mine. 3 years later. So that's really exciting for me. I'm also really excited about the Oculus Rift, I gotta say. I mean, I know there's been things about it before, but during E3 they showed a 1080p version.
Yes, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And when I think about, you know, the Virtual
Boy...
So we
got a demo version of one of those coming soon?
Apparently.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
When I think about the Virtual Boy and how it always gave people headaches, nobody seems to be getting headaches from this, and that's exciting to me.
have you heard about the version of Eve they're doing for it?
Yes, I did hear about that.
Apparently that's like a sight to behold.
Yeah, yeah.
Your empty wallet's going to be a sight to behold.
Oh, we'll all have to save up together and buy that and then share it.
Yeah.
No, I just mean when Steve gets taken with some, you know, Ponzi scheme in EVE Online.
Oh.
So that's my good. My bad, oh, jeez, would probably have to be, let's see, the Ouya stuff that happened with the ESA. And I really only found out about this today.
Well, dude, you've been working hard, you know, starving actor in Newfoundland.
I have, yes, a little tiny outport on the, I'm literally on the edge of the ocean right now.
You're really on the edge of the ocean.
Kevin Woolridge. The Adventures of Kevin Woolridge on the fourth corner of the earth.
I wish I were.
I'm actually one of the oldest houses in this community.
It's a built fantastic in like 19- house, though.
Yes, wonderful. Anyway, yes, so for those of you out there in processing land who didn't know, Ouya didn't have an actual booth set up. They rented a parking lot across the street from E3. And the ESA, bad ESA, decided to call the cops on them. Now, what
50, gotta go.
I know. Now, Ouya had rented it. They were completely within their rights, so there's nothing that could be done about it. They even put trucks in front of it.
They did. They tried to block them with trucks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. Now, I gotta think, why? What is the Ouya taking away from E3 that, you know...
They didn't pay the administration fee to get a booth. They didn't pay to, what, $30,000 or $50,000 or something that it cost to get there.
Now, did you see the picture, Kevin, of them handing Ouya t-shirts to the police officers that showed
up? Oh, it was hilarious. You know what the funniest thing about that
really?
Was?
What's the funniest thing about it, Steve?
Funniest thing about that, the LAPD has Segways.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
That is so funny.
How serious would you take?
Well, no, see, but these if this wasn't the serious LAPD, they didn't send SWAT, they didn't send Crash, they sent
the
Segway, you know, they sent the cops from fucking Demolition Man.
They sent the hipster unit.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, yeah, there's an indie Android console coming out. Send in the hipster squad.
Hit final countdown. It's time to roll.
You just know that those segues, the cops were making the voice with their, like the noise with their own voice too. Wee.
Totally.
Pull over.
It's the fabulous police.
Oh, okay, so my ugly actually is going to be the fans.
Ooh.
And the fans who rag on Microsoft, basically. And, I mean, a lot of that is post-E3, but I mean, there was a fair bit of it during E3. I'm getting sick of that. I'm getting so sick of it. It's like, you know what? We should be lucky we have two major systems and major consoles. We could be living in a world where it's just Nintendo. You know what I mean?
Good Lord.
Think about that for a second, Steve.
Let that sink in.
If Nintendo had won the wars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my PS3 just died. God rest its soul.
Oh, did it really?
It did. Yeah,
it
I'm, it's getting a blinking red light, and I don't want to push it.
I hear you.
So I got to send off for repairs. I gotta hope I still have the original hard drive, because I don't want to give them my 250 gig hard drive.
No, I wouldn't either. You gotta try and get that shit running long enough to get your gear off it.
What do you mean?
Save games and stuff.
What, I can't just pull the hard drive out and put it back in the new one?
No, sir.
I'm gonna bring it out to you.
Okay.
Okay. But, no, the PS3 died, and, I had to, this evening, get my wife hooked up on Netflix on the Wii.
Oh, that's dumb.
Nintendo have took what is a simple two-step process and added 18 steps.
The Wii is just a terrible machine.
Yeah, they took a waltz and turned it into a fucking tango, but it's not an impressive tango. It's me dancing.
So imagine if that was all we had. If we didn't have an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Oh.
This is why I get mad when people are constantly ragging on something that, you know what? It could be worse.
Okay, I'm just going to jump in the Wayback Machine a little bit here. And I'm going to flash back to about a week before E3 when we recorded our last episode. And
right.
The big news that week, the huge news, was Microsoft had just dropped their bump on the Xbox 3 or the Xbox One and its online policies and the DRM.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you guys will both recall that I was actually pretty soundly in favor of what they had announced. You know, I was actually pretty supportive of it. My response was, hey, you know, Microsoft, way to lay it all out there, way to make it perfectly straight for us, and we can still play used games, fucking deadly, great. You know, like, I didn't really have a whole lot of issue with the fact that, you know, when you take a disc out, put it in another system, it gets blacklisted in that first system. Like, it didn't really bother me too much. And then E3 came, and everybody just seemed to, you know, go that much further with it, like, just blow it up so much that it became about DRM. It became that, like, whatever Microsoft did, no matter what they showed, you know, it was already this weapon being used against them. It was already, like, Sony...
It was kind of turned into a buzzword, actually.
Yes, it was. And that's just... And it was such a non-starter, man. It was just... You know, like, it doesn't really change anything. The only thing that really would have changed anything, the only thing that would have been, you know, oh my god, what the fuck, would have been is if they had completely killed used game sales. And, I mean, we've gone over that song and dance a million times. I'm not going to reiterate that again. But they didn't. You know, that's something that they didn't do.
And well, because if they had, you would have had the CEO from GameStop calling Bill Gates and being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I mean, that pretty much happened anyway. But then, you know, all of the stuff that followed, and, I mean, a lot of my favorite commentators, you know, a lot of the guys who I really like listening to. Even these guys came down pretty hard on it. Like, the guys from Eurogamer basically said, you know, Microsoft just killed game ownership and expect us to smile about it, you know? And yes, in some respects they did.
Dude, Bear Cole cocked the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, and I mean, Bear was very, very unkind about it. You know, he had a lot of harsh words.
He let the hurting bombs fly.
Yeah, he had a lot of harsh words to say to him. And you know what? A week later... They recant. A week later, they turn around and they say, okay, guys, you know what? We understand. We've heard the message loud and clear, which is also fucking horseshit. We all know what happened. What happened was pre-orders for Sony's system were through the roof, and the Xbox One was, what, one for every 8 PlayStation 4s pre-ordered?
Yep.
That's what happened. You know? And, I mean, as soon as Microsoft saw that number, they shit.
I think they should have had a picture put up on their website of Mattrick shrugging his shoulders with, sorry guys, fucked up.
But no, and I mean, then Mattrick goes, which everybody says, you know, oh, well, a move to Xenia, that was weeks in the preparation or months in the preparation. And okay, two things there. Number one, if that move was months or weeks in preparation before E3 and stuff, why the fuck was this guy in charge of a new console launch?
Yeah.
If you knew he was leaving, why the fuck was he involved to begin with? Because
a couple weeks before the new console launch, you let the news out, introduce the new exciting head, right? Yeah. Make it because it is an event. It does affect gamers,
it does.
Right?
It is. It's a huge thing.
Introduce this new person. You know, pray to God they show some charisma, and. Let them unveil the new system.
Yes. Like, I mean, they don't have anybody in their stable. Ever since Moore and his guard left in 2008, man, Microsoft has had nothing. They've been scrambling. They have no idea how to get a message across. They have no idea, like, they have no finger on any pulse whatsoever. They have no idea how to gauge what people are looking for. And they're too fucking bullish with their own little initiatives, like Kinect and Kinect 2.0 and all of this. It's all garbage that is completely inconsequential to the industry at large and to gamers in particular. Completely inconsequential. I can't state that enough. The Kinect being bundled in with every Xbox One is a total crock of fucking horseshit. And that's all there is to it. There is no.
Now, do you think if they hadn't been pushing so hard, if they didn't have a Kinect bundled in there, do you think they could have matched Sony's $399 price?
They could have fucking beat Sony's $399 price. They could have came out at $379 or $349 and still came out in the green. But no, they have to push this stupid Kinect 2.0 bullshit on everybody. And the other side of that is no one's going to use it. I'm not going to use it.
And Kev, are you going to use it?
Well, since you guys are demonstrating my ugly of E3, I've been relatively quiet.
Xbox, bing me a way out of here.
No, I mean,
Xbox, bing, escape plan. No, not the band!
Oh. This is the other side of it, though. Like, I'm not trying to come down on Microsoft in general. I just think that they're being really stupid about how they're launching a new console.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sony is playing everything perfectly, and Microsoft is doing the opposite of what Sony's doing. Yeah. You know, and just force bundling the Kinect when I'd say about 70 to 80% of the people who bought that console are not going to make any fucking use of it whatsoever is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. Agreed.
And they're using it as a Trojan horse. And I guarantee you, 6 months or a month or 8 months or a year after the system comes out, you're going to see trade papers coming out. You're going to see press releases saying how well Kinect 2.0 is doing and how many Kinect 2.0 enabled games are after selling. And all it's being done to do is drive the business of being Microsoft. And that's all it is. It is of no benefit to the console or to the gamers who buy the console. And
how long do you think before we see a bundle without a Kinect?
Oh, a year. I'd say the following fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, like, to me, it just, it, and all it is, it's not even, I don't even think it's related to Xbox One and trying to push Kinect on Xbox One owners. I think they're still just trying to compensate for the epic failure that was Kinect for Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I think they're still trying to, they're forcing it to be relevant. They're, like, you know, they're still trying to keep it relevant. And they're fighting it tooth and nail. And I think that's Matrick's doing. I really do, because it was, the Kinect was his initiative. It was he who brought that to the table. You know? And I think he's still trying to justify himself, even though he knew he was out the fucking door, and that just pisses me off to no end.
Yeah.
On the flip side to that coin, however, I do hate that Microsoft can do no right. You know, like, I do, like, they're in the same boat Sony was in 3 or 4 years ago. You know, Microsoft comes out and says, we fucked up, we're getting rid of DRM, we're back to the old model, guys. Sorry, we've heard your critiques. You know, we've heard what you had to say, and we've given in. And then they turn around and it's like, no, you didn't. You didn't hear what we had to say. We loved it. We wanted to share games with our families. It's like, oh my God, why?
Mm-hmm.
Who are these fucking idiots? Where are they coming from? I'm ashamed to be considered a number of this group, this art, whatever the hell you want to call it, this hobby.
Can I segue this into something?
Yes.
While we're still on topic here? Okay, this past weekend was, is it pronounced Evo or EVO?
Evo.
Evo, the, you know, kind of fighting game world championships.
Yeah.
Right? It's a nifty little event if you're a hardcore fighting game fan.
I watched some of that today, actually, a bunch of videos.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of cool. I could never, ever, ever compete on that level, so I'll never, ever, ever go. Right? And, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, fighting game fans can be very, very elitist. I think a lot of that stems from the fact that it's always one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're either good or you're a noob. And if you lose, it's because someone was the cheese.
What I hate about Evo is, well, the biggest thing I hate about Evo is they go on about being, you know, this big, the be-all and all of fighting game events, and, you know, it's for all the fighting game fans and for the fighters and for the fighters and, you know, all the very best, the Street Fighter players.
This is what I'm getting into now.
And then they turn around and they say, oh, well, you're not Street Fighter or MVC, so you fucking suck. Oh, you're a Ryu player, you suck. Oh, you're a Ken player, you suck. You know, like seriously.
Yeah. If you're not me and my limited fan base, you suck.
Yeah.
And this is what really pisses me off about it is Microsoft and who are the developers?
Double Helix.
Double Helix showed up at EVO and decided, we want this to be the platform for us to unveil the next characters and the next stage of the long-awaited, and people have been awaiting it. People have been crying about it for years. Ever since the Xbox 360 launch, people have wanted this.
Ever since Microsoft got Rare.
Ever since Microsoft got Rare, they've wanted this. You know, Double Helix and Microsoft went to EVO to say, we want to share a little bit more of what we have planned with Killer Instinct with you guys. You know, we don't want this just to be another game. We want this to be an event. And they show it off, and it looks stunning, and people boo.
Hmm. They boo even more when you hear the words Xbox One.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I actually saw the video, and I felt bad for those guys. I really did. I thought, if I were in the room with these
And yeah, do you think
right now,
they're going to go back there next year?
No. Of course they're not.
Do you think Microsoft... I think Microsoft just got a very, very... And I mean, people have said for years they've been the first-person shooter. It's, you know, this generation was all about shooters, right?
Yep.
And here we're going out with some... genre diversification, a different, and they just got a big slap in the face.
Yep.
You know, a big taste of limp dick.
I commented earlier, you know, it started a bit of an uproar on the Blast Processing page because I know we got some really hardcore Street Fighter players.
Yeah, and I honestly, I went back and I read it. I don't think he meant anything insulting. I really don't.
No, I don't. And I know.
And I'm hoping that the listener who saw that didn't, you know, when he goes back and looks at it, realize, you know, I wasn't saying, you know, you weren't saying anything bad about him. We weren't saying anything bad about fighting fans. You're saying that a bunch of people acted like tools, acted like children.
And this is what people are going to see. This is what people are going to notice. You know, the fact that a bunch of EVO fans were in the hall and booed these guys who were very excited about sharing, you know, like a game that people were asking for. People have been nagging the shit out of Microsoft for.
Mm-hmm.
And they show it, and the response they get is a slap in the face because it's not a Capcom game, because it's not Marvel vs. Capcom or Street Fighter. Let's face it, apparently Injustice, there were a lot of yawns and stuff at the Injustice finals as well.
Yeah, I'm not even a big fan of Injustice, but, you know, NetherRealm showed up and say, hey guys, we're all about fighters too.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had Mortal Kombat there last year, and Mortal Kombat had a bit of a better response, but I mean, it had a legacy behind it too, you know. But basically, for all intents and purposes, it's either Street Fighter or nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And that attitude is kind of shitty.
And this is something I wanted to bring up. I didn't do it on the site. I might bring it up after. Is I really think, you know, and everyone touts how much they loved Street Fighter III, right? The way gamers are now with their sense of nostalgia and the way they are, yet Street Fighter III would never happen today.
No.
It couldn't. You know, you had that great comment earlier when I brought up the unveiling trailer for Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
That, you know, they could have done something. They could have had a Street Fighter 5 and experimented a little bit. You know, do something a little bit different with it. Like, and Capcom used to do that stuff. They did Street Fighter EX.
Street Fighter
right?
3.
EX plus Alpha. Street Fighter 3. Street Fighter 3 was very different. I was turned off from it right away until I, tried a little bit deep and realized, no, it's not Street Fighter 2, but you want to know something? It's a pretty goddamn good game.
It's better.
Yeah.
Just it didn't have the same strength of character, but, I mean, it was a better game.
Yeah, it played and, I mean, Capcom can't do that anymore. Nobody can do that anymore. You know, King of Fighters 12 came out a couple years ago. Was very different. Now, King of Fighters 12 had some weaknesses. Yes, it felt like a tech demo for King of Fighters 13.
Yeah.
Then 13 comes out, and they stripped out all that new awesome stuff they added in with the parrying and the that really cool countering system they added in that I had never seen before in a 2D fighter.
Yeah, so what it they ended up doing just, was they basically made King of Fighters 11 in high def.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not a bad game, but, you know, it's like they... People always say we want innovation, we want something new. I mean, I can remember when, you know, the big joke was how many words can Capcom add to Street Fighter 2?
Yeah.
Capcom can't count past 2.
Yeah.
We're all begging and asking for Street Fighter 3. Back in those days. And I mean, nowadays, that's this stuff, it can't happen. It can't, you know, EVO was... You guys are representing an entire fan base. even if you don't like, if you're going to an event like that, if I was going, say I won tickets to the Cannes Film Festival, I went somewhere and I thought one of the movies was a piece of shit, I'm still going to politely clap at the end of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Yeah, you're representing a hobby. Show the proper decorum.
Yeah, this is pretty much it right here. This, like, I summed it all up when I was talking to one of the guys earlier, and this is it. The problem with, like, the behavior on display is that the event will be judged based on that behavior. And I know Evo is cliquish, and, like, Major League Gaming, it's a fringe event, total fringe, that's on the cusp of becoming mainstream. It's right there on the edge. And this year, I gotta say, the guys who run it, the guys who set it all up, the organizers, it was everywhere this year. I've never seen any more attention put on Evo than I had this year. And clap, like, kudos to them. Applause all around for that. But I'm sure there's a lot of people involved who'd rather it didn't go mainstream. And they acted out in that fashion, pretty much. And that ensures that it won't. You know? Like, the fact that they responded the way they did, the fact that they behaved the way they did, pretty much guarantees that, you know what, Evo is going to stay on the fridge where it fucking belongs. And that's all there is to it. Because if you're going to carry on like that, that is where it belongs. And it's not about going mainstream or getting mainstream attention or having studios use Evo as a platform for unveiling new product and that kind of stuff, which Capcom did. You know, and the sad part of it is this was an opportunity for the guys at Double Helix to interact directly with the fan base. And
yeah.
Being told by the hardest of the hardcore fan base that they're wasting their time.
Mm.
This is what happened. That's essentially what it was, in a nutshell. You know, that rots the shit out of me. And then for them to just boo and dismiss Killer Instinct and then turn around and whoop and holler and cheer and hoot and clap and stand up and shout and all of this for Ultra Super SF4 Remix to the Power of 10 Omega, that's bullshit. Bullshit at the highest caliber. And it just pisses me off. So E3 and Evo out of the way.
Yeah. I got a bit of an announcement to make. I don't know if anyone's aware of this or not. You guys are probably going to be very surprised. I'm a bit of a comic book fan.
Really?
Yeah, me.
I did not know that.
No, you know. I mean, I'm a bit of a weird comic book fan, but I'm still a bit of a comic book fan. So I decided I'd be the proper one to review this title. High Moon Games, after their success with the Transformers franchise, and, you know, now that Activision's pretty much the go-to for Marvel games, do they have some sort of exclusive license with them, or?
I have no idea.
I just want to know, because it seems like it's always Activision. But recently released a game based on Deadpool.
Mm.
And honestly, I think modern comic fans would be hard-pressed to find a currently active character more discordant than Deadpool. Anyone who doesn't realize, he was originally conceived by the formerly red-hot but soon-to-be-penciling pariah Rob Liefeld in the roaring early 90s comic book scene.
Oh, yeah.
And what they call him, the Merc with a Mouth, was originally little more than a guy with a penchant for blades, bullets, and banter. He was, after getting pretty much lost in the shuffle, almost immediately after Liefeld set sail for Marvel, he was later reimagined in the late 90s as a deranged goofball, equally humorous and psychotic, with a penchant for hilarious, depending on the writer, inner dialogue with his multiple personalities and fourth wall shattering antics. Now, personally, my taste for Deadpool depends entirely on the creative team behind him. I think he's probably a very challenging character to write because it could either be brilliant or the stupidest thing ever.
Usually leaning more towards stupidest
yeah.
thing ever.
Exactly. And it's usually pretty lame. He's not what I consider at all a front-running character.
No.
No. You know, he's a sitcom character. We might as well call a spade a spade. But with the talent of High Moon Studios, again, the guys who made the War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron titles, and the as well as the makers of the vastly underappreciated Dark Watch.
Curse of the West, bitches.
Yeah. It didn't have that when it came out.
It was still awesome.
Yeah, no, but they axed the stupid subtitle. It wasn't Derek Watch War of War. Sand Fighter Elite. And, you know, but with High Moon Studios and the whole gimmick of Deadpool's insanity, his self-titled debut as a video game star could have been a great sign-off for action games of this generation. But after playing it for a couple of hours, the Merc's got a mouth, but nothing else.
It's pretty ugly.
Yeah. But, I mean, right from the first blast of the starting whistle, it's really clear that it's the entire tone is based around poking fun at tropes and pitfalls of the modern action game.
Yeah.
You know, just a sample, right at the beginning of it, you get an achievement just for pressing the button to stand up out of his recliner after the title screen. He notices the achievement pop-up, looks up and says something, and gets another achievement. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's just, the gags just roll out nonstop at that pace, and it all depends on how much of a tolerance you have for Nolan North.
Pretty high tolerance, I gotta say.
Yeah. Now, that being said, and this is, it falls into the Matt Hazard trap. If you're gonna make fun of tropes and cliches in action games, you can't do the tropes and cliches in action games, or you have to be incredibly smart about it. And Deadpool is just an ugly, ugly shooter.
Yeah, very, very pedestrian.
You know, it's clever, it's cute, but not nearly to the degree that the developers seem to think it is. If you're going to sling mode at tutorials missions, or jumping puzzles, or cover-based shooter mechanics, you're either cut above in these aspects, or you don't do them at all. Right? And I mean, there's bits of it I found generally funny. You know, it rips into the whole extreme comic scene of the early 90s. It rips into Ryan Reynolds' portrayal of him in the movies. It rips into the Wolverine movie. Right? But getting to all these charming moments means trudging through a collection of the lamest level design and most unrewarding combat I've played since 2005. And, I mean, this is the generation of the shooter. We've had some pretty goddamn good shooters.
Yeah.
There's a reason shooters became the fighting game of this generation, right? It's just they've been good.
Very good. I think that, like, of the genres that have been kinda propelled forward this generation, the shooter is definitely right up there.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta just look back at it. This generation gave us Gears of War. I mean, no, it wasn't a huge... Vanquish wasn't a huge seller, but it was a critical darling, and the game, for anyone who actually sits down and tries it, it's fucking golden.
I don't know anybody who actually tried the game who didn't love it.
Yeah. You know, in fact, the only shooter that I would throw in with all this stuff that wasn't of this generation was Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Right? Shooters took a massive step forward with the Xbox 360 generation. And Deadpool is just, it's lame. The stages are a base selection of sewers and nondescript office buildings. The enemies are standard security guards and corporate mercenary types. You know, they're so uninspired that players will beg for more of the banal circle-strafing boss battles. Yeah. You know, it's cool that the roster of villainy consists of characters that are of the same lineage as Deadpool, but we're talking about High Moon Studios, who, a developer who had gamers fight not one, but two skyscraper-sized robots in the first Transformers game, and they can't cook up anything more inspired than dodging in circles until the boss tires himself out and is left open to a quick combo.
I still can't get over how goddamn ugly the game is.
And even if we had to do that stupid combo situation right there, they didn't have to ask me to do it 100 fucking times.
Yeah.
You know, and I could have handled a brainless brawler, but then the glitches started to just push their way through the seams.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just, there was a couple times the game refused to register an enemy kill after they'd fallen through the field or been knocked off a building, and if it didn't register, all the enemies had been eliminated, I couldn't go to the next section. So I had to restart.
Ugh.
Yeah. I found there's parts where boss fights and cutscenes wouldn't trigger, so I'd have to restart. The jumping is horribly imprecise. The collision detection is piss poor. Enemies become frozen in animation loops alarmingly consistently. dialogue mashes together. You know, somebody will be saying something to Deadpool to move the story forward or tell you what you got to do, and you'll be hitting an enemy, and it'll cause Nolan North to make a wisecrack, and you'll miss what you're supposed to do.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, it's completely inaudible. The basically, the entire package is about as attractive as a flea-ridden mutt. I haven't even gotten to the graphics. And in this game, it looks like shit.
It's a pretty ugly game.
It's hideous.
You know one other thing about it?
What?
It's really fucking ugly.
Yeah. Like, honestly, anyone's enjoyment of Deadpool is going to be completely relative to their desire to see him placed in comically exaggerated situations. But to me, the trade-off of workable gameplay for that fan service and the cameos is far too steep.
Last time I saw something that ugly, there was a dog standing over it.
It's horrible. Yeah, like, to me, unless you're an absolute X-Head who must have every Marvel Mutant adventure out there.
Oh, I thought you meant X-Head as in, like, into ecstasy.
Well, that too. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. But you like that, do you?
X-Head?
What's X-Head?
I get really, really huggy and want to rub my body off of things and trance-like. When
well, that's what X-Men fans are like.
Something when a steady bass beat kicks in?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
But honestly, wait till Deadpool breaks down the fourth wall separating this game from the bargain bin. It's just, it was terrible.
It's that bad.
Yeah, and anyone who tells you that it's good, anyone who gushes about it, is because they're a Deadpool fanatic.
There are Deadpool fanatics?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, there are, amazingly.
Really?
Yeah. Why? But I think these are the same, these are probably the same people who, like, you know, saw Shoot 'Em Up in theaters. Love Chev Chelios.
Created by Rob Liefeld. And that tells me everything I need to know about you people who are Deadpool fanatics. And I can't believe I just said you people.
What's wrong with you?
Created by Rob Liefeld.
Now, wait a second. How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Old?
You'd have been in your early teens in the early 90s.
I wasn't in my early teens in the early 90s. I was in my late teens in the early 90s. Yes, I own goddamn Rob Liefeld books, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing you pretty much, you probably helped finance Image's success in those first few years.
I definitely did, but that doesn't mean I wasn't stupid. I also did a lot of drugs when I was a late teenager.
So there you go, guys. When Steve Power read Deadpool, he did a lot of drugs. If you're going to play this game, you probably do a lot of drugs, too.
Anyway, that's our episode for this week.
Yeah. Mom, don't listen to this one. You've probably already listened to it, and I'm sorry.
I love you. I guess that's it. How do we usually close these things down? I don't even remember anymore.
Oh, yeah. Check us out on our Facebook page.
Hey, we got a Facebook page.
Yeah, we got a Twitter feed. We got tweets for your ass.
We be tweeting.
Yeah, you better read them.
We are all up in your tweets.
Yeah, I think you can find us and a lot of other great podcasts on DVDverdict.com.
You definitely can.
We got a Podbean page.
We do have a Podbean page.
We need to be pushing this shit.
We do.
Maybe someday we'll have t-shirts.
Yes, I want t-shirts.
Yeah, and sorry for the bit of a slow week this game. Actually, no, I can't even call it a slow week. We talked about The Last of Us. That was a pretty goddamn big release.
It was.
Yeah. So,
We got more.
Yeah, we're pacing ourselves.
A great one for the next episode.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got a terrible one for the next episode. This, this game made me want to play Deadpool.
Oh.
So, I guess all that's left to say is we are Blast Processing, and if you're listening to this, you are the Resistance.